brand new motorcycle.
Huge car.
I had the best insurance, I think, for full coverage on my Honda. I have to buy at least 10 years of insurance to get close to paying for the value of my car.
And I don't keep a car that long.
And my car's 20 years old, so.
My car cost me 10 grand when I bought it.
But you can do mechanical work. I buy new because I want it all. I don't know where I am. I want
that's
the
car.
You want that one?
And I want that new car smell.
Yeah. You can buy that.
I know. But that's
comes in low.
Yeah.
I'm very happy people have that option. I don't have that option. I am not mechanical. And I have to drive vehicles that I have to be able to fix.
I was mechanical.
Jim's very aware of my situation.
You ever fix them?
What's that?
You ever fix them?
I try to fix them, yeah. When I can.
The car. Did you ever fix them?
That problem, no. The three cylinders, the head's got to be pulled. It's got to be pulled, and that's probably going to happen this season.
But the three work, right?
But three work, so... I mean, it's not spewing out smoke. It's not making noise. I mean, it runs consistently, so I'm in low priority mode.
Yeah.
The bigger thing is that occasionally it's overheating, and I think it's because my radiator is just full of gunk, and I've got a new radiator to change. So that's my next repair is changing the radiator.
I have done that, but it was a
what a thrill! Can I help?
You shouldn't have said that.
Got the air conditioner going, the temperature's 20 degrees cooler than it has been, and I'm still sweating like crazy.
The humidity.
It's 98% it was in the night.
Not very good,
man. Right in my bedroom. I was sweating like hell on that over up this morning.
I have a fan going. Look at that. I mean, it is pouring.
Yeah,
it's good. Wow. It makes the stroller look better.
Oh, is that nice? Makes the stroller work better?
Yeah, cleans out the...
Oh, it cleans your hands!
You're just coming into the highest production time of the year, where we'll go up another 1,000K. So we'll go from putting out 5,000 to almost 6,000.
So it's still working really well?
Oh, yeah. Our expensive bill was 300 pesos, I think.
Wow.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Marco was at my house yesterday, so.
Are you thinking about having solar installed?
No. He is kind enough, even though he's gotten so big with his solar, that he still opens my house up before I get here.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
You're doing what?
He opens up my house before I get here.
True.
He does the services, the mini splits, he flushes the hot water tank, he starts the car, golf cart.
Really?
Turns on the water.
Can I ask you what you paid for that service?
A lot.
Yeah?
But it's okay.
It's okay. It's worth it.
That's why he does it.
He has done that for me for 9 years. And then before that, he did a lot of handyman stuff before he got in the solar.
I had a pump put in my place, and the only way I can deal with it when I'm away is to have the guy who installs the solar once in a while check it. Make sure it's not leaking.
What kind of pump?
Water pump.
Why don't you turn off your water?
Because if I do that, the gaskets in the pump will dry up, and so he checks it once a month for the whole 6 months, and it costs me 1,000 pesos. And if anything's wrong with it, he'll fix it a day later.
I think it was like 3,900 pesos.
For
him to serve us all five units.
That's a lot of work, though. That's a whole day to carry on.
Well, and you know, just the fact that he knows my house, and he'll do it. And I know when I get here, you know, if there had been a problem, he would call Sten as H2O Millennium and got my gas working or something. It's worth it to me. I can't even afford to do anything in the Colorado Springs.
Well, that's everything down here if you need cement work.
My house was built as consolidated system for the sprinkler, but it uses a hose timer. But it's all plugged in with copper. And well, I can't loosen the slip joint. I cannot do it. So I called my plumber guy that tightened it all up, and he comes maybe 5 minutes, $30. Because I wasn't strong enough to undo that slip joint cover. So I had to take my timer. $50 for that mouse bait.
That's in the springs.
Hey guys, we're live.
Yay!
We're live.
One, two, three, and curse everybody.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I guess we're not live because I told it not to start until 9:15, so we've still got a minute and 48 seconds.
I say you've got 3 minutes.
Well, not by atomic clock.
by my iPad, and it's always right.
It is. Well, I've got 9:13 on the laptop, 9:12 on the cell phone.
Oh.
I've
got 9:13.
You've got 9:13. YouTube, but basically, here's the one that matters. YouTube is counting down a minute and 18 seconds.
Oh, okay.
Oh, and it just went live. So there we go. So YouTube doesn't even care.
These are two different ports, right?
Yes.
One is a USB, and
yes.
What's the other?
HDMI.
Oh, espero que está bien, donde tenemos prendido
la junta.
This one,
yeah.
HDMI.
Okay.
Y más
cable.
Yeah, charger, USB. And this is the first Kindle Fire. And the reason I love this thing is because I can just take it and plug it into the hotel.
You get everything.
TV, I've had Kodi on it, I've had... just movies put on it before when I leave, I watch whatever I want.
Man, I've been having great Kodi experiences. I don't know what's changed, but every time I use, it's like a 90% success rate with Kodi these days, using Exodus Redux.
Yeah.
In fact, I've got everything narrowed down to a real simple install. I blow the whole thing away. I use my Trax account to bring everything back to where I was. It's sweet.
Install crew.
Crew?
Yeah, crew.
I don't know if I want to add any more to it. I love the idea of being able to just fresh Kodi, Exodus Redux, Trax, done.
Crew is excellent.
Okay, I can add some. Crew, I will add that to my list.
Kodi Redux is the number one app, and Crew is the number two.
Yeah, Exodus Redux, you mean?
Yeah, Exodus Redux.
Let me bring up my topics list here, and I'll add. It's CREU.
Yeah.
Okay, crew, like a rowing crew.
CREW.
CREW. Yeah.
He said you.
Oh, I thought he did.
The silent row.
I said, ooh. Ooh.
It's like Wednesday as a silent D.
Well, we've got a lousy internet connection.
Yeah, mine just went.
It's up and down, which makes complete sense because we're in the middle of a torment that we got rain all around us.
It's still coming down.
It's coming down somewhere. It's
right here.
But welcome one and all to the San Carlos Computer Club meeting number 3 of this season of the 2019-2020 season. We've got more guests that have come back, more members that have come to join us.
Yes. Oh, thank you.
Every member is a guest, every guest is a member. You're sitting with us, you're part of the San Carlos Computer Club.
As long as you pay 10
pesos. You're right. Yeah. Please show your affection for tequilas by dropping 10 pesos on the table so that we can give it to them as a propina, as a thank you for Wi-Fi and good table service and having a space and lots of patience with our speaker. I'm Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions, coming to you from Tequila's every Tuesday at 9:15 to share the tech topics in the world. Changing lives.
You're right. On a roll.
Yeah, that's what happens when I don't write an intro. I just can't stop talking. Anyway, it's good to have you guys here with me. So as usual, I have showed up with a few topics I thought would be interesting, but I will leave it open to you guys to start with, because I'm curious what your topics are.
I'm going to go back to last week because I wasn't here.
You weren't.
I know.
You're chastised for that. You can't ask a question.
I was in Colorado.
She was in a snowbank.
Not yet, but almost. So, you told me not to upgrade to 13.
No, and it's still safe.
Well, okay, so all of a sudden it just went and upgraded, even though I have auto upgrades turned off.
No.
Yes.
Oh, that's a horrible story.
It is horrible.
Did you figure out why it auto upgraded?
No.
Do you think somebody might be using your tablet thinking they were helping you?
No. It's never out of my possession unless the dog has learned something.
Apple has been dropping the ball all this season. It's just amazing. And they're going to have to cut their prices in half if they're going to behave like that.
Well, actually,
the other...
It says it's still 12.4.1.
Oh, good. So it hasn't upgraded.
So it hasn't, even though it said it did.
Well, you know what they did? And this really drove me crazy over the summer. My mom needed a new iPhone. I didn't realize how much so until she showed it to me, and she had scotch tape that was holding the faceplate down because the battery had swelled and popped the faceplate off of it.
Oh my goodness.
And I'm like, Mom, this needs to be replaced now. This is a fire hazard. We need to go get you a new phone right now.
Wow.
And so we got the 10R. And this is before they announced the 11. This is the beginning of the summer. At the end of the summer, they announced the 11. And the 10R is a beautiful phone, big screen. It's like a 6-inch.
Nice.
Yeah, it's there. Good morning, Linda. Come join us. Watch out for my cables. I'm really sorry.
Yeah, there's a cable here, too. Watch out.
Oh. Wherever you want to sit, just be courteous to the cables. Whoops.
So there's a software version 13.
Now get the chair out of there.
Did you already do it?
No. I did things a little different.
Telling me I have to update. I hate that little dog that's constantly on
here. Yeah. Is that an iPhone?
This is a 10.
Well, it's 9:20 right now. We just started.
Don't use my iPad.
Just started, but we're happy to have you here.
I bought an iPad about 2 summers ago. Took it down to your mind.
This is mine.
Didn't use it.
Linda shows up, she's stealing my sunglasses.
It's not
my stuff.
Yeah,
no. So just, if I can finish my apple,
yes, please.
So she gets this new iPhone XR, and when I'm doing iPhone work for people, what my standard operating procedure is take their phone, plug it into my Macintosh, do a complete backup and image of that phone, and then take the new phone and dump the image into the new phone. It's something that Apple has made very easy for people like me. And you can bring all your settings. You can bring, many times you hand the phone back to somebody, it's the latest versions of everything, and it's the same setup that they're familiar with.
Okay.
They've got all the icons in the same place that they expect them organized correctly. They've got their Wi-Fi passwords already in them, stuff like that.
And that's what they do at the Apple Store, too.
Well, that's what they're supposed to do. But they didn't do that for their mom, for my mom. I think it's because she had an iPhone 5S. And it scared the Apple Store because everybody in there is younger than the phone.
Yeah.
And so I'm doing this work, and I do the image, and then I take her new phone, I plug it into my Macintosh, and it says, oh, this isn't recognized by this version of iTunes. I have iTunes 12.8, and you need 12.9. I'm like, all right, I haven't updated iTunes in a while. It shouldn't matter, but I'll update it. And I go to get 12.9 and say, oh, you can't use 12.9 unless you update to the latest version of the operating system. It's my Mac account. I'm like, all right, that's nothing I want to do right now. But let's just see if I could, if I wanted to. No, I am not allowed to update to the latest version of Catalina, the latest version of Mac or Macintosh OS. Uh-huh. My Mac Mini, which I love, which has 16 gigabytes of RAM, which has a 1 terabyte SSD drive, that flies and does every job I want it to do, that runs a virtual machine of Windows 10 as a file server on my network, that allows me to have 6 desktops open at the same time so that I can run 2 businesses, is not going to update the latest version of the operating system for Macintosh. And it is not for power. That is not the problem. The problem is Apple just simply said, no, you don't get it.
And that's the solution.
That really annoyed me. Well, I found another solution for my mom in that case. I was able to use cloud services to move most of her stuff and get them into the phone. But this left such a bad taste in my mouth, I was waiting for the fallout. Well, I haven't heard a lot of people complaining about this, but what I have watched is systematically throughout the summer, all these versions of the operating system getting updated so that iTunes 12.8 will support this new equipment. And this is just another one of these stumbling blocks that Apple has had recently. They pissed a lot of people off, and so then they're having to dial back what they're planning and back up and do it differently. And they've just done the same thing with Catalina.
Okay, so let's
do not about. Do not upgrade to Catalina. All you're looking for is a world of hurt. They have stopped supporting 32-bit applications. So we have a whole slew of old-time workers out there that are using versions of Office that are no longer compatible, using versions of Photoshop that are no longer compatible. Because they just brought those programs with them through every upgrade and didn't realize that they were running 32-bit programs until they installed the latest version of Mac OS to find out those programs won't run anymore. And the Apple solution to this right now is, well, you could download VMware and run a virtual machine of your older operating system. Yeah. I mean, like, because normal people understand what I just said, right? Right? Like, can you imagine my mom going into the Apple store and going, hey, my Word doesn't work anymore? They're not even going to say that to her. They're going to say, well, it's only like $300 for the box, right? Or subscribe to it for $100 a year, which is a pretty good price, to be fair. But the Photoshop is not. Photoshop, there's no reason. There's no reason that you would want to upgrade any of your workflow just because an operating system.
So the bottom line is, do not upgrade to Catalina.
What you want to do, if you want to upgrade to Catalina, is you want to take an inventory of those softwares that matter to you and make sure they're 64-bit softwares. And Word, Excel, the Office Suite, and Photoshop are the best examples of the things to be concerned about.
And we aren't supposed to upgrade to 13.
Right. Right.
And what are the negatives about upgrading to 13?
Oh, it's, yeah, the iOS 13. The real negatives about it is because it's been having all kinds of problems. It's very glitchy. It's freezing phones. There's keyboards that aren't popping up when you need them. So your user experience is really diminished. You bring up something where you're supposed to write a text message and the keyboard doesn't show up. But
that happened before with 12, too. That's not a new glitch.
Well, let's just say this is a consistent glitch.
Okay.
And there's a whole list of things. I don't have the list with me. But there's a whole list of reasons not to. And right now, tech journalists are saying we're probably waiting for 13.2 for old equipment.
13.1.
If you're already, it's 13.1, it's 13. 13.1 still has problems. 13.11 immediately released to fix the 13.1 problem. And now it's 13.12, and it still hasn't resolved all these issues. And if you've got a newer device, then by all means, you want to have the latest updates. If you bought an iPhone 10 No, I'm sorry, an iPhone 11. You bought one of these new iPhone 11s. It's coming with 13. Then you've got to do those updates. There's no going back to 12. But if you're on any piece of equipment that has 12, you do not want the updates. You want to get somebody like me saying it's okay to upgrade now.
So we're waiting for you to say that.
That's where we're at. You're waiting. Don't let the red dot bother you.
The red dot bugs me.
How do you justify paying $100 a year for Microsoft 365 or whatever the hell they call it?
Well, I have a hard time justifying it to you, Gary. But if there were people that... Well, because you have lots of options.
I used it for a lot of years when it was...
Yeah.
I had a disk that said Office, and I put it in there, and it worked fine.
What do you use now?
The free one.
Like Google Docs, or...?
No, it's got a name that includes the word free in there somewhere, I think.
LibreOffice, or OpenOffice? Okay, so you've already
adjusted. It's got everything in there that I need that Microsoft used to deal with, and it's free. And update it all the time.
See, you're my kind of customer, because I don't think you need to get into Office. But if you are somebody that relies on Office, then the subscription model really does seem to make sense, because it comes with a terabyte of storage space. And at $100 a year, you get 5 copies of that software. So if you're like a home, like your kids are going to school and they're required to use Office, they can turn things into an Office. If you're in a business, a corporation where you're required to use it, if you're an instructor and your campus is standardized on Office, then that's a real cheap price to pay for a professional Office suite, and you get a terabyte of space alongside it. I also think that if you're somebody that doesn't want to change, if you're a curmudgeon that's been using Office all along, I think that's a lot better than $400.
Change.
What's that?
You don't have to change anything. You click on it and it happens the same way as Microsoft used to. You want a database, you want a...
Well, to be fair, if you're talking about OpenOffice or LibreOffice, the database is not a good example. But spreadsheets and Word are a very good example of it just working. And there's no reason not to use those free softwares. But like I said,
you can save them on your computer just like you.
Yeah, just like, and you can save them in a Word format. There's, and you've got lots of options other than that. You could use Google Docs as a highly compatible program. You could use the free mobile apps that are available through Microsoft. They have Word, Excel, PowerPoint, all for free as mobile apps. If all you need is the ability to read a document or read a spreadsheet, then these are really good solutions. But if you're somebody that relies on Office, then if you buy the subscription, what you're getting is reasonably priced cloud storage space, and they throw in a professional Office package. And I think that's a really easy sell to people as well. The idea that you can back up your entire computer to that space in the cloud.
Cloud? What's a cloud?
Look outside. It's where all this rain is coming from.
Friend of mine is trying to listen.
Oh, yeah?
And she says, it's Phyllis, I was listening, but now it's not good. Sound is bad. Lots of interference.
Yeah, we're having horrible internet connection problems here in the restaurant. I can only imagine it's because of the weather. So all I can say is have a refresh. Try refreshing it.
Now, the last 2 days I've had terrible trouble with Infinitum. And it probably has to do with clouds and bad weather.
I assure her that if she looks later, I will post the recording so she can listen to us later.
You know, if somebody wants Office, you look on eBay and look it up. You can buy the serial numbers for like $3. And I've had it in, don't laugh, I've had it in there for 5 years.
Yeah.
$3, the newest version of Office, it updates every time you get an update.
Wow.
Wow.
And Microsoft Office.
Yeah, and it's perfectly legal. It's perfectly legal. I mean,
it's actually microsoftoffice.ru, but...
No, you have to log on to Microsoft Office in order to...
And download it.
To download it, and it has your name and activation. Once you log in, you change the password to it.
Okay.
So it's yours. It's there. So for $3, I got 5 copies.
That's awesome.
Wow.
I don't know how they've done that, but as long as it works, right?
Yeah. And the funny thing about it is, you know, I sat there and I looked at it and I went, well, I haven't done anything stupid today. $5 or $3 is a drink. So, and it works fantastic.
So, Jim's tip for the day is almost free office.
Check
eBay.
For serial numbers.
Check OpenOffice.
Oh, OpenOffice is good, but I wanted Outlook.
To be fair, OpenOffice is not good anymore, but LibreOffice is the one you should be using.
Yeah, that's what I used to use.
Yeah, that's really the good one.
But I wanted...
But they don't have Outlook.
They don't have Outlook, and that's the program I really wanted.
Oh, you're glutton for punishment.
Outlook is great for getting rid of your spam and the filterings on it, in my opinion.
I used to like Outlook.
Is that the same as Hotmail?
I've spent a large portion of my professional career fixing
Outlook.
Not a big fan of Outlook.
Outlook
and Exchange Service. Literally everyone I would work with hate having to use it. They have to use it because they're in a corporate environment. I would never send somebody privately out to use Outlook.
So you use like a Gmail? Or?
Well, I use a variety of emails. What I use, I use the Gmail, Hotmail, whatever it might be, through an email client on my phone or my... I use the Windows 10 mail program for some of this stuff. I use the Mac mail program on my Macintosh stuff. But I don't rely on something like an Outlook. I've got Outlook installed mostly to debug it for people that are having problems. And the newest version, to be fair, the newest version of Outlook is probably the best version of Outlook that's ever been built. It makes the most sense. But still, you're dealing with those damn personal database files, those PSP files, and those can get corrupted just as easy as they did with Outlook 97. Thousands of emails later, we'll find out. I mean, if you've got over a couple gigs of email in that PSD file, there's a very good chance it'll get broken by something simple. And then you're using repair programs and you're transferring. Oh, I'm so sorry, Linda.
Oh, that's okay. I'm just
going to
put behind
you.
I don't have
to. I'm very confident.
This is a really impromptu setup. There was too much light behind me, so I moved over here. Anyway, not a big fan of Outlook. I do like Mobile Outlook, though. I think Mobile Outlook's a great program. It's free. You can put it on Android or iOS. It does contact management. It does calendar management, task management. I think the mobile version of Outlook is an awesome program.
And it links right into your computer, Outlook.
Well, in a roundabout sort of way. I mean, it syncs everything to your Microsoft account.
Yep.
So as long as you're using a Microsoft service account, then it'll do the same stuff with your...
I see your simplicity in that. Doesn't sound so...
Well, you may have to write that.
I do have a weird problem with my mail. I have 2 weeks, 2 accounts, and I couldn't get my printer working wirelessly, so I hired a guy to do it. So, and it wound up, when I click on my email, it goes to the account that I never look at, I don't want. So I have to close that, click on email again, and then it comes up with the one that I want. Why can't I bypass that step? I don't know.
Which email program do you use?
Hotmail.
And?
Both accounts are Hotmail.
Both are Hotmail?
It goes to the one that I don't use first. I have to shut it off, and then open the email again. Then I can get the one that I want.
But are you using the mail program with Windows 10 to access your Hotmail? Okay, so it sounds like you need to set the other one as your default email account.
I don't I've tried and the other guy tried, and it doesn't seem to want to cooperate at all.
Well, and as we're talking about it, I'm not remembering how you do that.
Then you have to log into Hotmail and change it in Hotmail itself.
Hotmail.com.
Well, well, if that's the case, then let's make sure we're understanding how this is working. Because you could have more than one email account configured in Hotmail.com. Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah, you could have a couple of names in it.
So what I'm thinking Gary's describing is he's got two Hotmail accounts configured in Windows 10 Mail.
But it all has to come through Hotmail. They're both Hotmail accounts.
Well, right. But you would, in that case, in the case I just described, you would deal with settings as two separate accounts. And so there wouldn't be an interface for choosing one over the other, if you follow what I mean. It would be the same as like the Jim Hotmail account and the Gary Hotmail account. There's no reason for the Jim Hotmail account to have any settings that would affect the Gary Hotmail account. But you could bring them both together under an email client like Windows 10 Mail. You follow what I mean?
Yeah.
And so then where you brought them together is where you would be able to make those changes. So to reiterate what Gary's describing,
changing Windows 10 Mail program to the default.
Is it Windows 10 Mail you're using, or are you going to Hotmail.com to do this as a web page?
I have a bookmark for Sleepy Hollow 44 to the account, the Hotmail account.
Okay.
If I click on that, it goes to my TechLite account. I have to close the TechLite account, click on the mail again, and then put in the name of Sleepy Hollow.
So, and it goes there. So, you're right, Jim.
That's not a standalone program.
It's not. And you're using it through a web browser, which means that you're going to be connected to the last email account you signed in to. So when you click that icon, it's going to open up Hotmail based on the last one you were signed into.
Well, the last one you were signed into would have been...
That doesn't... The next time I close it all down,
I think
same thing happens.
Get rid of that bookmark and build a new... Open up the right mail program.
I even tried that.
You got rid of
it. Well, you know what you might do? I do this a lot too because I have the computer club, I have the bed and breakfast, and I have my own business. I have three different profiles in Chrome. And so I open up a different Chrome window based on which email I'm supposed to be doing. And so I've got three different icons on my desktop, one for each profile. If I click on the bed and breakfast profile, it opens up my...
But only the one that you click on.
That's right. Okay. And so if I need bed and breakfast, I click on that icon, it brings up the bed and breakfast profile. The profiles are stored locally, so you set it up on your computer. But then that web browser is pointing just to that profile, just to that Gmail account in this case.
So
in your case, it would be Hotmail.
Your bookmark.
The distinction with the profiles is that you're a different person in a different profile. You could use profile, like I could set up a profile for my kids, so if they want to sit down on my computer and do stuff, and I don't want them to mess up my bookmarks and see the work I'm doing, I could have them go into the kids' profile. And that's a different set of bookmarks, favorites,
passwords.
Different cookies and passwords, all that is related to that specific profile. And all the major browsers allow you to do this now. Opera, Internet Explorer, Edge, Chrome, Firefox, they all support this idea of profiles. They're kind of like different usernames.
But couldn't he just wipe out that bookmark that he's using because it's not functioning properly and go into Hotmail, open the account he wants, and set a new bookmark?
Yes, but the reason that it's working the way that he's... That Gary's having experience with is because it will open the Hotmail box of the last account that was authorized in that web browser. So if I signed into my inbox on Gary's computer and he used that same icon, he's going to come to my inbox first.
Right.
Right. That's what
but
I'm saying.
If he just wiped out that bookmark, because he uses bookmarks,
and then started over again.
Yeah.
Right. He'll still
write one.
He'll still be in the same spot.
think you will be.
Yeah, I think you will be, because what you've got is a bookmark for Hotmail's current email, a inbox.
But it goes to the wrong place.
Yeah, so if he deletes it and redoes it to the other web address, because there are different web addresses to the wrong one and his right one, so if he deletes that link and creates a new link from the right email, it's going to have the right email on that link.
I mean, you can try it. I'm not saying don't try it, but I don't think it will.
The only other thing is you have to change your email in Hotmail itself to the default.
Or just get rid of
his default may be the one he doesn't want to use.
Well, I do use it not only for specific things, mostly for
this is the thing, is that the account you want to get into is the one that you seldom use, right?
No.
Yeah.
No, the one that I want to get into is the one that I use every day. But it goes to the one that I seldom use. The name is the second one. It goes to the first one.
Okay.
Go to the first one, go back and click on mail again, and then I have to put the address of Sleepy Hollow in there. Actually, when I hit S, it goes, pops up the whole address.
See, the thing is, your web browser can't be signed into two different email accounts at the same time from the same service. Like Hotmail will only recognize you being signed into one of them at one time. Am I wrong on that? That's the way I understand it.
I don't use Hotmail.
I only ever use them one at a time, so I'm really not sure about that.
Yeah, I don't believe that you can maintain authentication with two accounts in the same web browser for Microsoft services at the same time. I don't think that's possible. I mean, I'm happy to be wrong, but that's the way I understand it. And if that's the case, then you have to leave one to get to the other. You have to sign out of one of them so that you can sign into the other one.
But you tried setting your default to the other.
I'm pretty sure that I've gone through that whole process, and the guy that I actually hired to do it tried several different things. And he's a tech guy, he should have known what was happening, but he couldn't sort it out.
Well, Gary, I'll tell you what, I'll come over and take a look at it. Next time I'm over there, we'll take a look at it.
You can show me how to use my iPad.
It's much easier.
Even if we do find a solution where, like, this icon goes to this email account, which I don't believe works. I do believe there was a time period in the past where something like that worked, but I think the way that Hotmail's authorizing things, and I know the way Gmail's authorizing things now, that you can't do that without dealing with a sign-in screen that signs you out of the other account and asks you for the new account. I don't believe you can do that. But in the very end, I can help you set up profiles on a web browser, and then you never have that problem.
Well, when I'm looking at the account, I don't want to be with them there. I just click on the bookmark thing again, and that pops the same address I clicked on initially. But this time, I can literally put the other address in. All I have to do is put S in and the whole thing comes up and I click on that password's there and that's where it goes.
Yeah, yeah.
It won't do that initially.
Right, because you're already signed into the other account.
Well, I can close the other account. In fact, I can get rid of the other account. It still comes to the same place.
Well, an interesting test for me would be to sign out of that account, close the window, and then try the link again. Because what I would suspect would happen is when you try the link again, then it's going to ask you to re-sign in, and there's a good chance it'll hand you that other account to start with.
Well, it basically does that. The password's already there. All I have to do is click on that.
Yeah.
Because
one profile will keep track of all the different sign-ins, but it will only allow you to be signed into one at a time.
Well, I'll let you sort it out in there.
But again, I think the multi-profile thing is probably the solution for you. That's a way of having two different icons to go to two different email account sign-ins, and you're ready to go each time. I really like the multi, especially for like what I do. I can give the bed and breakfast account, like I got set up on my wife's account, on her computer. So if she needs to do a bed and breakfast thing, she can just bring up that profile, and she's got access to everything, the same bookmarks, the same email, the same schedule, whatever it might be, as an example.
Multi-profiles.
What else do we have going on now that we beat that to death?
Did you try that fix for whatever the hell it is?
Probably not.
Some proxy. I sent it to you when you were in DNS proxy. How to make it the smart DNS proxy to make it auto update using cron.
Oh, using a cron job? No, I mean, I'm very familiar with what you sent me, but I haven't used it anywhere yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I know there was people in the class when it was big.
Well, and you're still talking about being able to change it in DDWRT, right? You're not talking about it.
Yes.
Yeah, and so there's only
or whatever.
Yeah, there's only so many routers that support that kind of job. But yeah, I've got one. Linda was with us not this Linda, but the other Linda was with us last week, and she mentioned Silent Ghost HD streaming. Have you guys looked at that? So I have not downloaded it yet, but silentghosthd.com, you can download an app that I read all over the internet that this thing is working for on-demand video, very similar to Streamio. It's just one more app to add to your devices that's supported on iOS and on Android. I think on iOS, though, you had to go to a third-party program installer, like a website specifically. But it's got a whole collection of movies and TV shows that you're able to get access to. Silent Ghost HD Streaming. And it's silentghosthd.com, and they have a whole write-up there about how to use their service. That's just a follow-up from last week.
Anybody get one of the new Apple iPhones with the 3D lenses in it? It blows up on widescreen.
Not yet.
Yeah, I wonder how that will work.
Anybody ready to spend over $1,000 on a new phone?
So I think so.
Starting.
See you later.
But if you trade in.
Oh, yeah, if you trade in, you might be able to get a $300. Uh-huh. If you trade in last year's phone, you might be able to get a $300.
My 10 is worth virtually maybe $300.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
I think the phone that people are Apple's working really hard to make a normal person's phone, and I think that's what they want the 11 to be, mm-hmm. which was the 10R.
Well, they must be on the right track, because everywhere you look, those phones are totally ubiquitous. Everybody's got one.
Yeah, they're nice. Well, see, I got my 10 right before the XR came out.
Okay.
And then
The 10R. XR. It's going to get weirder, too, because Microsoft just released a bunch of X stuff, and it's pronounced X. It's not 10.
Oh.
In Apple, the X is 10, and in Microsoft, the X is X.
Because
that's
the way they want it.
That's so it. I don't know what they're thinking.
The 11 comes out, but they're just not ready yet to go through the hassle of
the They actually announced a product called the Surface X, which runs Windows 10. And then they announced the Windows 10 X, which doesn't run on the Surface X. So it's a little confused.
I'm glad I don't have
to. Whose change is this
from
the Sure, Linda, what do you got? That's fine. That's what we're all about.
A
Microsoft wireless keyboard.
And that I wrote to check out my old one. And it wasn't wireless. But do I need a software for that?
No.
To get that?
No, it should just plug in and work.
I don't know.
You should have a little dongle.
Did you give her money?
A little USB adapter that plugs into your.
And I looked down and that one was there.
Without that, it's not going to work.
Any USB adapter?
No, it has to be for that keyboard.
What the?
Oh, for that keyboard. But would it have come with
it? It would have come with the keyboard. And if this is like second hand or from another computer.
It wasn't your one.
Okay.
I don't know why we never put it in. But it's years old. We found it in the box. We don't let it have any of the keyboard. This one could work.
Well, you know, a lot of these wireless keyboards have a compartment for holding that dongle. You might flip it over and look in the battery compartment and see if there's a dongle sitting in there. And it's going to be just a little nub of thing.
It's like a mouse on this one that you just stick in the bottom of it and it stays there on its own. Similar idea.
It's going to be a little nub that has a USB and you just plug it into the USB port. And that's the transceiver that's used to talk to the keyboard.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
If it's a really old Microsoft keyboard, it might actually be a device with a cable that plugs in. I mean, if it's really old, if you think it's more than like 7 years old.
Well, I don't think 7 years.
This one here.
Maybe close, maybe five. I'm not
this
sure.
One.
I would expect it to be a nub. That would be my first guess. But there might be something the size of a mouse that needs to be plugged in that has a light on it to connect.
I don't really have a lot.
Worst comes to worst, we'll say, Scott, come on over and put this together.
Sure, I'd be happy to help you with it.
My keyboard is just still...
So the 11 Pro ad, it says, from $24.99 a month or $5.99 with trading.
Right.
That's the $24.99 forever.
That's for the 11 Pro, right?
Yes.
So you can trade in a phone from last year, and they'll drop the price by $400. That's
right.
That doesn't sound so bad when I say it like that.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah. I mean, you did pay almost $1,000 for the phone. You tried it.
I paid $1,000 for my X.
Yeah.
My 10, X, whatever it is.
Your 10.
My 10.
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
Well, I didn't.
You had $1,000 for the
target.
Don't cut the cord.
You know what? You know what? I just bought my wife a new Huawei, a new Honor 8X for her new cell phone, and she's ecstatic about it. It's got screen to all corners like the new iPhone does. I mean, it's just like a plane of screen in her hand. It's got a little notch at the top like the iPhone does for the cameras. And it takes beautiful pictures. It's got dual SIM slots in it and an additional SD card memory slot in it. I was able to take the SD card and the phone SIM from her old phone and slide it right into her new phone. Her gallery propagated with no problems. She's able to bring all her apps over without any problems. She's ecstatic. She loves it. It costs just under $200.
And China is monitoring everything she does.
You don't think they're doing that with the iPhones?
I think they're awful.
Apple has conceded to give China all that information, apparently. I mean, you guys have been paying attention to this controversy with Apple right now, right? With Tencent, their sharing of data. What was the latest on this? Tim Cook. Well, it's the Hong Kong protests, right? You guys have been paying attention to that. We got 4 months of Hong Kong protests going on. And they've been using a program called Hong Kong Maps to know where police blockades are and where it's dangerous for protesters to be. And so the protesters have been using this app to avoid problems with law enforcement. In fact, on the map, it has things like black flags and red flags and yellow flags. And these are indicating places where, like, you should have a tear gas mask in this area. You should be ready to deal with pepper spraying in this area. Right? And people are updating this stuff. So the protesters are aware of what they're fighting against. So Apple pulled the app.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Apple pulled the app. And Tim Cook came out with an official statement saying, well, the app, as important as it is to the protesters, we've learned it's being used to target law enforcement agents. Which is completely wrong. Which absolutely is not true.
To target or just
to target
develop information.
They're saying the app was being used to identify law enforcement agents out there in the wild and pick them as targets to go against. Which all I can imagine, the only imagination of this that I can come up with is they saw a black flag and they said, they're tear gassing people there. Why don't we all go over there and beat up the police? That's the only way I can interpret this with any validity of truth.
Sounds like a nominal order.
It really, well, you know what it is? It's we want to keep doing business in China order.
Well, it's no different than the basketball.
It's exactly the NBA.
Where
exactly
are you going to get your iPhones if you have, you know, if you stop dealing with China? Imagine what they cost if they're in Georgia.
Apple's got to be scared that they're going to have problems with production. China produces their iPhones. They're going to have problems with production, distribution, sales, all in China.
I wonder if all of the parts that go into it are also made in China, or if they have to bring them in from elsewhere.
The majority of them are made in China. And there is not, you've created a situation where these products cannot be made without China. And so Tim Cook is out there trying to be as political as possible, but you can see his motivation is not upsetting China. And that's why they pulled this app. And it's created quite a bit of controversy. I think it's had a backfire effect on their business because it hasn't endeared them any more to China. But it has definitely caught lots of controversy here in the United States. I mean, they're just getting shunned and beat up by the press right now for this. Because it's so obviously a fake statement. And what's very frustrating is they're building a reputation on personal security, privacy, and then they're doing this kind of stuff. And it follows, you know, a couple years ago, they had to give China keys to the data that's being stored in the cloud in China. They had to set up a system like, if you're an iPhone user in China, you don't use iCloud. You use a Chinese cloud service.
These Huawei phones, are they a carbon copy of an iPhone, or are they?
No, they're Android phones. They're really good equipment. And as far as the spying thing goes, that's never been proven. like there isn't any cases where they got a hold of 100 Huawei phones and discovered that the majority of them were sending information back.
And I'd have to say, so what if they know?
Well, they know anyway, so.
There are 1,000 other ways to spy on you without putting it right in the equipment you're using. Like, why would you bother with that?
We all have a GPS on us by now.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't be concerned. That wouldn't be my first concern.
Back to the app that
they pulled. Yeah.
But don't you think that there are other apps out there that do similar?
Certainly.
Waze is one. I don't know whether Waze is in China or not.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that because I think I read something about Waze getting restricted during this protest.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'll have to look at that again. But just cursory to this and my background, I remember hearing something about that.
Is that the phone or the service?
Waze is a navigation service.
So you can take an iPhone and use Waze with it.
Well, what?
It's right here.
Yeah, what she's describing is an app that can be used in a similar way. Waze is a Google app.
So I can report if there's a copy of Waze.
What you can do as a Waze user is you can put in a police checkpoint. Like you just drove past a speed trap. Okay. And so you can identify that on your map through GPS. And then it'll tell all the other Waze, over here on 5th and 6th, there's a speed trap. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we live in the United States, so they haven't been able to stop people from doing that kind of stuff.
Freedom of information. Ways, but it's not. For some reason, I can't quite get it on my car to work the way my normal does.
You know, this Chinese censorship stuff, and we were talking about the NBA for a second there, and we're talking about this app, but you guys are probably not aware of this, but Blizzard and Activision are video game studios that have been around most of my life. And they have recently merged as one company, and they have, Tencent has which is a Chinese investment company, has a stake in that company. And one of their top players, I can't remember which game he plays, but one of their top players, and these are tournaments that they have. They have these e-sport tournaments. So in the middle of one of these e-sport tournaments, he starts spouting off Free Hong Kong. He starts showing his support for the protesters in Hong Kong. He's Chinese. He's from Hong Kong. And he's using his platform because he's a celebrity in that area to voice his opinion. And these companies, which are American companies, now owned by Chinese investors, shut him down, took him out of the game, disqualified him, and took his prize money.
Really?
And they've caught a lot of crap for it, and they've backpedaled a bit. They've reinstated him, and they've given him his money back. But, it just blew up. Everybody, we're looking at Tim Cook. We're looking at this era. We're looking at Blizzard Activision. We're looking at the NBA right now. They want to do business in China. And they're afraid of offending the Chinese. And so it's dictating how they build products, how they deal with people in our own culture.
Right. What? Maybe you gave her?
I didn't give her any money yet. And she's good telling me this is mine. Who's good with Spanish? Scott?
Scott? And no pagate nada todavía.
I asked her for the check twice.
Él está esperando la cuenta. Él está esperando su cuenta. Pero no sé de quién es este 20 veces.
Pero ¿quién es this?
Tal vez es para otro mes.
Probably the change from what she thought.
It was Indian people over here.
Yeah, I bet it's for one of the other tables. Maybe they walked out of here quick enough thinking they were leaving.
As good as they get out of here.
Yeah. I bet that's what's going on.
Thank you.
Hey, I got a PSA, a real quick PSA. Netflix has announced that your old Roku devices will stop working.
What devices?
Old Roku, the Roku streaming devices.
She said she asked her for the check and she gave her the change.
From somebody else's check.
Never gave her any money.
You didn't get the check.
I didn't get the check. I don't know whose money that is.
We're betting that's from another table that's already left.
That's
from
She gave me my change.
My change. Okay.
Nobody here is expecting change.
Okay. But you haven't paid.
I haven't paid. Okay. I asked his wife for the check. She gave me that.
He wants to pay. Tino, don't get it wrong. He wants to pay.
Caesar.
Damien Caesar. Whatever his last name is.
So this time of these people.
Sure.
Yeah.
but I've always known him as Tino. Because we used to kite board together.
His father's Caesar.
Yeah, his father's Caesar.
Oh. And that's that picture there, right?
That's his father on the left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was in here earlier
saying
that we would have internet shortly.
Well, maybe by the time we all get home, the clouds will be gone and internet will work.
So back to the Roku. If you have a Roku that is older than 2011, then it's going to stop doing Netflix, I think, by December. Just FYI.
So I can throw away my old Roku that I've never set up.
I guess so. I have one of the Rokus on this list, and I love the equipment. But they refused to update the software. The software on it's not very great, but the equipment was always good. I've got one of the XDSs. The XDS, the Roku, which has all the ports, has the audio, it has everything you would want out of a streaming box, except up-to-date software, and now apparently Netflix after December.
Anybody have a Fire Stick?
What?
Fire Stick?
I've used a number of them.
Amazon Fire Stick.
You want a program? Are you sure?
Yes.
Huh? Okay.
You paying for mine?
I don't know. Did you get yours?
No, I haven't got mine.
She paid hers and got the change. Yeah. And I paid mine and got the change.
All right.
We've got.
Let me do one at a time.
Yeah.
We've got like 10 minutes left.
Okay.
I got one other topic, and then my topic list will be done. Did you guys see that the Supreme Court is allowing blind people to sue retailers for their websites not being accessible?
Oh, jeez.
No.
This, this is the Domino's Pizza case that started back in 2016. And because their website is considered a public space for corporate business, they need to be have accessibility for blind people.
Yeah, but it's also visual.
I'm not saying it makes sense. I'm just saying they can now sue.
If you don't have any eyesight, what the hell are you doing?
The Supreme Court threw it out.
What's on your pizza?
Couldn't it be their fault for not having a braille option on their TV?
Right.
I watched a movie or two.
What is
these captions on the bottom, so I don't know where the hell that is.
I'm mentioning this because it is bizarre. And we have to wrap our heads around it. Because what the Supreme Court has done is they have rejected what's the legal word for it? When you're fighting against the ruling, what is that called?
It's
the
appeal.
An appeal. They rejected the appeal from Domino's Pizza because they lost the court of the case in state court, and so they appealed to the Supreme Court. Because I imagine Domino's is thinking the same thing we are. It's like, it's a visual medium. Why would I have to make it accessible to blind people? But the Supreme Court is looking at it as public spaces. And public spaces, there is a federal law that public spaces are supposed to be accessible for handicapped.
Yeah.
And that includes, I mean, that's the reason that you go into malls and there's braille signs all over the place. There's handicap available stalls in the bathroom. It's all the same law. And now they're saying, because of that law, your website has to be the same way.
Everyone's website?
Oh, that's
I don't know how they could even call it a public place where you have to go there and sign up in a personal way. I have to sign up to whatever the service is. That makes it personal, not public.
I think that those are nuances that you're allowed to argue in court. But the point is, you're allowed to argue in court. There's no cut and dry answer. The Supreme Court has made sure there's no cut and dry answer. And each one of these cases is going to be dealt with as an individual case and start setting precedents for our laws in the United States. We could end up in a world where, the federal law says your website has to be accessible for a blind person.
But doesn't that just mean that they have to be able to listen to it then?
Whatever it takes, I think. Yeah,
but, okay.
Push button,
whatever it takes.
Put a picture of Mario up there.
Yeah. You got a picture of
Siri. Order me a Domino's
pizza. Yeah, Siri. How does a Domino's pizza?
Right. If I was Domino's, I'd build an Alexa app and say that's for our customers that can't see, is that they can use our Alexa app.
What about the ones that can't hear those, Scott?
Well, then they can see.
They can't hear or see.
That comes with fire.
Maybe they don't like pizza. Well, and I suspect that it will be dealt with on a case-by-case issue. I mean, it'd be like... Like you, if you're a McDonald's or a pizza eater, Domino's Pizza, this might really be a concern of yours in the future. But if you're like International Computer Solutions, it's probably not a concern because there's nobody that's going to. Well, I would imagine nobody would bother to try and get money from somebody that has no money. They would try and get it for, you know, I suspect the whole thing is about recognizing the authority of the federal law for disabilities. I think that's really what it comes down to, is this is an example of recognizing the authority of that federal law. But I'm not a lawyer, so I got no idea. But I will put a link to the story on the website if you guys are interested, because I think it makes really good reading. I mean, hey. Are you out of here?
I am. Well, I'm hoping that my plumber electrician shows up today.
I had to show up yesterday because it was raining. And he couldn't get his work done. So it's okay.
Well, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
I will see you next year.
Do you have a VPN or something?
Lyndon, do you have any more questions for us?
I still need the service. It doesn't automatically feed you a bunch of channels. I still need it. Like, I've got radio.
She's paid for one of those applications.
But she's still in the
process. It's an access point, but it's not a service.
Okay. So it's like Amazon.
Well, hopefully next week it'll be more stable because this weather will be gone.
VPN or DNS director.
Okay.
To change it to the United States. Unless you want to use Mexico.
Which is it?
You're going to look for some. Or it might be something the size of a mouse with a cable.
Speed just doesn't cut it.
One or the other. Depending on how old your keyboard is.
I think the keyboard is.
All I have to say.
Well, it's not a mouse I'm talking about, but I'm talking about a device that would be about the size of a mouse. It would have a light on it, it would have a button on it, and the button would probably say connect.
But Scott delivers what he delivers, and I don't argue with him, so.
Otherwise, it would be a little nub that you would plug into the side of your
computer
and
use it.
The number that's on it is 6,000. Does that mean?
Is that the model?
Right. You have to.
Yeah.
Before you leave, let me look it up real quick.
That's what he's doing now, but he can get other services too. I have a fallback called Mobtro, MOBTRO.
Microsoft 6,000.20.
But it's not HD. But it is a substitute.
Let me get some pictures up here.
Off we go. See you next time.
Okay, so this is the kind of thing we're looking for.
I'm not sure.
It's probably the same, but this is the nub kind of thing we're talking about.
And this would be underneath.
Yeah, it looks like the mouse here, it might be under the mouse.
Okay.
It looks like a large door under the mouse. Oh, here's the other kind of device I was talking about.
But I had Scott.
You see how that kind of looks like a mouse?
Yeah.
So that is the transceiver. You plug that into the computer, and now you're in the keyboard talking to it.
Now, in the event that we don't have any
you basically, you're out of luck. It's garbage. Without that, it's garbage.
Okay.
It's the critical component.
Firebox.
You pointed out which it was, but this is
kind of a shape of the key.
Yeah, I'm imagining you're looking for this kind of device.
And it looks like a very comfortable one.
If I can't get something on my IPTV.
Yeah. But you know, this stuff, it's not
Get
the right one there.
Yes.
I wouldn't waste a lot of time screwing around with this. It won't matter. This stuff works on any model computer. Anything that has a USB port, it's going to work on.
Okay. I'll figure it out. No, I won't. That's not my
job. Watch the cord now.
I am. Very careful.
I guess we have that cord, don't
we? Yeah, you all have to be careful. Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Linda. I hope to see you next week.
Yeah. Excellent.
What about you two? You guys got any last things you want to add to our meeting or ask questions about?
I need some.
All right. We're good.
Beginners to come in and say, oh, I had a silly question like mine would be.
It's okay, Linda. Everything is a good question.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thanks,
thank
guys.
You, Linda. No, I'm good. That was, what was that, Ghost?
Say again?
I loved her tip, so.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, this has been the San Carlos Computer Club. Again, I'm Scott Stinson from International Computer Solutions. And if you found this useful, why don't you check out sccclub.org? I've got archives of all our meetings there. I also post this as a podcast, so you can find us in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for the San Carlos Computer Club. If you're looking for computer help anywhere on the internet, I'd appreciate it if you got a hold of me. International Computer Solutions, that's internationalcs.net. You can call us locally at 226-0209. If you're outside of Mexico, call +52 622-226-0209, or again, look for our website at internationalcs.net. If you find yourself in San Carlos and having computer problems, stop by our office. If you're in San Carlos looking for a good meal, come to Tequila's. That's where we hold these meetings. Every Tuesday at 9:15 to 10:15-ish, you'll find us here using their Wi-Fi. Very courteous people working for them, and they got great food. So this is the place I would eat. Until next Tuesday, you guys have a great week. Tech on. I'll see you then. Goodbye. And that's it.
All right, buddy.
Good to see you.